Good morning, everyone. It's time to read the Fort Dodge Messenger for today, Thursday, December 26, 2019. I'm reading to you from our studio located at Friendship Haven in Fort Dodge. I'm Sue, and I'm glad to have you listening. I'll start with a look at today's weather and the headlines from the front page. Looking at our weather today, not quite as warm as yesterday, with a high of 39 and a low of 23. Expect mostly cloudy skies with a west wind of 9 to 16 miles per hour. And in our headlines, we have holiday at the hospital. The next one is Dems navigate political fallout after impeachment. I won't read that one. And the last headline is Iran to hold joint four-day Navy drill with Russia and China. That one I won't read either. You'll hear that some other time during the day. Okay, looking at the one I will read, though, it's entitled Holiday at the Hospital. The birth center nurses keep the unit festive on Christmas Day shift, written by Kelby Wingert. While many families spend Christmas Day celebrating together, eating big meals, and putting together newly unwrapped toys, many others find themselves working on the holiday. Police officers, firefighters, military service members, doctors, nurses, and many more. For Jenny Conrad, a nurse at the birth center at Unity Point Health, Trinity Beach Regional Medical Center, that sacrifice is just part of the job. When you're a nurse, you know patients have to be taken care of every day, and working the holiday is just the thing I'm willing to do for the job I love, she said. Pam Lawman, another nurse on the unit, said, "It's kind of fun and an honor to work on Christmas and to serve patients and their families. We do try to make it super special," she said. For babies born on Christmas or in the days before or after, the nurses have special outfits and blankets to give them. Lavon Benke, a former nurse on the unit, donated several Christmas blankets she quilted for the hospital to give to families with Christmas season babies. Nicole Little, another nurse on the unit, crochets hats for the little ones, including a Santa Claus hat complete with a crocheted white beard. Becky Younginger, another nurse on the birthing unit, decorates seasonal onesies for the babies throughout the year. All the items are given to the families to keep. Tasha Harper of Fort Dodge gave birth to her little girl, Aubrey, on Monday and was still in the unit on Wednesday, where she was able to celebrate the holiday with her newborn and her family. They show a picture of the baby. She's got it. Festive headband on, and then she's laying inside a stocking with her name engraved on it. And then it shows the two nurses, Pam Lawman and Jenny Conrad, chatting at the nurses' station on Wednesday. Nurses dressed Aubrey in a Christmas onesie, a tutu skirt, I can't see any of that, and hair bow for photos. She even had a newborn-sized Christmas stocking to snuggle into and take a nap. The hospital provides a free holiday lunch for staff working on Christmas, Conrad said. Earlier in the day, Lawman's son came by to have lunch with her. She said her family will have a get-together later in the week. "My parents were in the medical field, so I grew up with it," Lawman said. "I'm a nurse, and now my daughter's a nurse. My daughter-in-law is a nurse. It's just a part of my family. You make everything work on the days you can. We'll still have a very happy celebration." Conrad has been a nurse for 24 years, and Christmas is a special time for her and her children, she said. But she had to find a way to explain opening Christmas presents on other days. "When my kids were little, I used to tell them that Santa just got really busy and he asked just a few parents if they can do it on another day," she said. In all, holidays tend to be calm on the birth center floor, as most patients have gone home if they can. "On Christmas, it's pretty quiet unless they need to be here," she said. "And even with the calmness on the floor, it's not so bad working on Christmas. We have our work family, so then that makes it better." And there again, it's showing a picture of the mother, Tasha Harper, holding her two-day-old daughter, Aubrey. A former nurse, Lavon Benke, quilted several Christmas blankets. Now I can see the blanket. It's very pretty, all in the reds and blues and snowmen and Santas on it. And then the other picture shows Jenny Conrad, the nurse, holding on to a Santa Claus hat with a beard and pants that were crocheted. And so she's got it sitting in a chair. It's a cute look. Okay, going on then. From our files for December 26, 2004. Tammy Hansen, holding her four-year-old son Noah, stands in front of the car the United Way Wheels for Work provided for her. The mother of three was walking every day from her West Side home to Hardee's on 15th Street in downtown Fort Dodge. Well, that was she got her exercise in order to get to work. Okay, this week's question is, are you traveling for Christmas? And looking at this date in history, today is Thursday, December 26th, the 360th day of 2019. There are 5 days left in the year. Today's highlight in history, on December 26, 1996, six-year-old beauty queen John Bennett Ramsey was found beaten and strangled in the basement of her family's home in Boulder, Colorado. To date, the slaying remains unresolved. On this date in 1799, former President George Washington was eulogized by Colonel Henry Lee as first in war, first in peace, and first in the hearts of his countrymen. In 1947, heavy snow blanketed the Northeast, burying New York City under 26.4 inches of snow in 16 hours. The severe weather was blamed for some 80 deaths. 10 years ago, Percy Sutton, the pioneering civil rights attorney who represented Malcolm X before launching successful careers as a political power broker and media mogul, died in New York at 89. 5 years ago, James B. Edwards, South Carolina's first Republican governor since Reconstruction and later energy secretary for 2 years in the Reagan administration, died at age 87. 1 year ago, Serena Williams was voted the Associated Press Female Athlete of the Year for the fifth time, capping a year in which she reached the finals at Wimbledon and the U.S. Open after a remarkable return to tennis. That was after having her baby girl. And our thought for today is, little progress can be made by merely attempting to repress what is evil. Our great hopes lie in developing what is good, written by President Calvin Coolidge, who was 1872 to 1933. All right, so that takes us over to our community calendar. Everything is short today. I'm probably going to be short. I won't have enough to fill my time slot either. Okay, gas and electric retirees are meeting at 9:30 a.m. at Zakir's. Blandon Memorial Art Museum meets at 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Or it's open, I should say. 920 3rd Avenue South. Admission is free. Noon Saratoma Club meets at noon at the Pizza Ranch. A.A. Alano Club meets at noon and 7 p.m., 12 North 7th Street. Caregiver Support Group meets 4:30 to 5:30 p.m. and Elderbridge Agency on Aging at 308 Central Avenue. Al-Anon Thursday night, AFG Book Study Alano Club meets 5 to 6 p.m., 12 North 7th Street. AA meets 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. in Webster City, Trinity Lutheran Church in Webster City. Bingo, 6:30 p.m. at the Opera House, Fort Museum and Frontier Village, 1 Museum Road. Doors open at 5 p.m. Early birds start at 6:30 p.m. Fort Dodge Lioness Club, 6:30 p.m. Announced location. Divorce Care, 6:30 p.m. Grace Lutheran Church, 211 South 9th Street. Corn Belt Chorus Barbershop Harmony Practice, 7 p.m. United Methodist Church, 201 East Nebraska Street in Algona. AA meets 7 to 8 p.m. at the Shalom Center, 501 North 12th Street. And AA meets at 7 p.m. in Lake City Union Church on West Main Street in Lake City. One other announcement is for the Fort Museum Bingo at the Opera House, progressive and $200 jackpots. And that early birds starts at 6:30 p.m. Well, you know, as long as I'm on that same page, I might as well go with, I'm going to do my Heloise and my Annie today both. That's the only extras we have in the paper. Also, I'll do the hints from Heloise today, dealing with a gas leak. Dear readers, natural gas is effective and less expensive than electricity to cook with and to dry clothes, but can you tell the signs of a gas leak? The gas company wants you to recognize, react, and report. Okay, but to recognize by smell, a terrible sulfur rotten egg smell. By sight, bubbling in standing water in the yard or dead plants in a fertile area. By sound, whistling or hissing coming from the ground. React quickly. Tell your neighbors, then leave the area. Do not light a match or use light switches, garage door openers, doorbells, and so forth. Report. From a safe distance, call 911 and your gas company. Stay away until officials tell you it's safe to return. This came from Heloise. The next one is Bubble Bubble. Dear Heloise, you had a mix of baking soda, vinegar, and boiling water to speed up slow drains, but I don't remember the quantities needed. Would you please post that again? Thanks. See you in Kansas. Sure thing. To clarify, this formula is to clean and freshen the drain, but not specifically for clearing clogs, I should say, in the drain. Already tried a commercial chemical drain cleaner. Then don't use this formula. Dangerous fumes can result. Okay, you pour 1/2 cup baking soda down the drain, then add 1 to 2 cups household vinegar, bubble, and fizz. Give it a few minutes, then run hot water for 1 minute, followed by lots of cold tap water. Vinegar is a powerful cleaner around the house. That's by Heloise M. Pine Needle Derby. Dear readers, it's that time of year again. If you have a live Christmas tree, it's no doubt shedding needles. Not to worry. Instead of giving your vacuum a workout, why not try a rubber broom? With its short, stiff bristles, the needles will pull out of the carpet quickly with short strokes toward you. The next one is foaming soap. Reader says, Dear Heloise, manufacturers of liquid soap dispensers scored big when they introduced foaming soap. They gave us a lot less soap and a lot more water for a similar price. I fill my spent foaming dispensers about 2/3 to 3/4 full with water and top it off with dish detergent. These can be reused for years, and a small amount of dish soap will go a long way. All the benefits of foaming soap at a tiny fraction of the cost. Additionally, there are all the plastic pump bottles that won't be sent to the landfill. This is from Kevin in Avon Park, Florida. And the last hint comes, and it's entitled The Power of Powder. Dear Heloise, my husband wears his food well. I learned a hint from my housekeeper. Before washing a stained item, sprinkle well with baby powder. Then let sit several hours or overnight before washing with other clothes of the same color. Place in the dryer as usual. Works for me every time. From Judy H., The Villages in Florida. Okay, going on to our Messenger editorial for today. Entitled, Making Rural Iowa Stronger. Governor Reynolds' Empower Rural Iowa initiative is setting important goals. Iowa's economy is robust and getting stronger. It has a quality of life that makes those of us who call Iowa home reluctant to even contemplate living anywhere else. Governor Kim Reynolds has made stimulating economic development a key goal of her administration. She understands that unless Iowa's job opportunities continue to grow and diversify, the state will not be all that it can be and should be. The governor recognizes that some of the Hawkeye State's rural communities are not fully sharing in what overall has been an enviable growth record. She is committed to making sure all parts of Iowa have the chance to thrive. That's why in 2018, Reynolds launched the Empower Rural Iowa initiative. Throughout 2019, task forces have been hard at work holding summits all across Iowa to gain input for developing recommendations to the governor. This month, she received a comprehensive report containing proposals for 2020 and beyond. According to a statement released by Reynolds' office, this document will help shape the game plan the governor outlines early next year for action by the legislature. By connecting, investing, and growing our rural communities, we can ensure Iowa's success is every Iowan's success, Reynolds said. We know how to come together to think differently and build an Iowa that shatters expectations. The goal is to offer opportunities for prosperity everywhere in our state. The mission is to revitalize those parts of rural Iowa that are lagging. Here are some of the recommendations contained in the report the governor received. Increase self-asides for rural areas and small towns in a wide range of state programs. Increase the $1 million cap on the Main Street Challenge grants. Support rural housing projects. Provide grant support for programs designed to develop leaders in rural areas. Support grants aimed at generating innovation in rural communities. And strengthen efforts to make broadband internet access more widely available. These suggestions warrant careful consideration. Throughout the report, there is an emphasis on promoting private sector solutions to making rural Iowa prosper. The recognition that top-down government mandates aren't the best approach is especially welcome. The messenger applauds the hard work that went into this report. We look forward to the program for rural Iowa that the governor will outline next month. Reynolds' commitment to making all parts of our state success stories deserve strong praise and support. Okay, so let me take in, this is on the editorial page. I guess I don't usually do this, but let's do an editorial written by Frama Harp. It's entitled, "The Great Deal Maker Says Canada Should Deal on Our Drug Prices." Heavens no, we don't want the U.S. government to negotiate drug prices for Americans. That would be socialism. Conservatives keep saying, so let's have the Canadian government do it for us. President Donald Trump's latest plan for reducing the outrageous prices Americans pay for their prescriptions is to let states import cheaper drugs from Canada. Past proposals to tie U.S. drug prices to other countries' prices have gone nowhere. And nowhere is where this one will go. But pharma doesn't want to lose its captive market of American suckers. Do you really think that Alex Azar, Trump's Secretary of Health and Human Services, and a former top executive at Eli Lilly and Company is going to let the American consumer off the hook? Azar has said that this administration does not believe in setting prices for drugs by government fiat. How does he think Canada does it? He knows, of course, that nearly every advanced country demands reasonable drug prices, but drug makers charge whatever they can get out of desperate Americans. Thus, we have the pathetic spectacle of our diabetes taking buses to Canada to buy insulin for $30 a vial, a tenth of the $300 they pay at home. The much-advertised drug Humira for treating psoriatic arthritis costs an average $822 in Switzerland and $2,699 here. By the way, insulin is excluded from Trump's Canada proposal. So is Humira because it is a biolog. In any event, Canada says it will not become the supplier of drugs for the United States. Canada's population is one-ninth of ours, and its drug supply is limited. A huge boost in demand would drive up prices for Canadians. We have to keep asking why Canada should be doing the job of the United States government, and so much for the great deal maker in chief. Some Americans may believe that drug makers are going to sell more products to Canada so Americans can pay less for their wares. People believe a lot of things. As long as the GOP controls most of Washington, enormous profits will flow Big Pharma's way. For example, the Medicare drug benefit written by Republican lawmakers forbids Medicare from negotiating drug prices. The private insurers Managing the drug benefits do put some brakes on what's charged, but they don't have the bargaining power of Medicare with its nearly 60 million beneficiaries. The Department of Veteran Foreign Affairs does directly negotiate drug prices. If Medicare Part D were to pay prices similar to what the VA pays, Medicare would save $14 billion in 2016 alone, according to an analysis published in JAMA, Internal Medicine. Candidate Trump vowed to negotiate on Medicare drug prices. Whether he was ever serious about it, we have no idea. The Democratic-run House just passed legislation that would let Medicare bargain for better prices. It has zero chance of getting through the Republican-controlled Senate. Why doesn't the almighty Trump use his famous powers of intimidation to whip Republican lawmakers into getting behind some plans to stop the drug industry's extortion racket? It comes down to our price or your life. Instead, Trump is blubbering about freeloading foreigners taking advantage of the American people, or as Azar put it, the American senior and the American patient have been too long asked to overpay for drugs to subsidize the socialist systems of Europe. Don't you love his use of the passive tense? Americans haven't been asked anything. They've been forced by Azar's industry. Furthermore, if he and Trump object to other countries enjoying better deals, why are they backing a plan that would let Canada share its lower prices with Americans? Because it's not going to happen. This was his from Frama Harp. Interesting reading. Okay, so I guess I'm basically halfway through, although time doesn't say that I am. So I'll let you know that you're listening to the Fort Dodge Messenger on IRIS, the Iowa Radio Reading Information Service for the Blind and Print Disabled. The Messenger can be heard daily at 8 a.m. and 3 p.m. If you have any questions or comments about our program or any other IRIS program, give us a call at 515-243-6833. Now we'll turn to our two obituaries we have for today. Okay, the first one is for Hans Nelson from Webster City. Hans Nelson, 93, of Webster City, Iowa, died Tuesday, December 24th, 2019, at the Paula J. Baber Hospice House. Memorial services will be at 11 a.m. Friday, December 27th, 2019, at Trinity Lutheran Church with Pastor Jeff Flagg officiating. Visitation will be prior to the service from 9 a.m. until 11 a.m. at the church. Burial will be in East Euthalang Cemetery, east of Thor, which was formerly on the land that he was born on and raised. Foster Funeral and Cremation Center is entrusted with the services. Hans Christian Nelson, son of Carl and Frederick Peterson Nelson, was born December 21st, 1926. So he just celebrated his birthday on the family farm near Thor. He was educated in area rural schools. He served in the United States Army during World War II. Hans was united in marriage to Carol Jane Larson on January 5, 1958, in Omaha, Nebraska. They farmed together with his brother Harry and his wife Irene as Nelson brothers for over 60 years. He is survived by his wife Carol of 61 years, children Jeff and Gerida Nelson of Webster City, Barb and Ian Campbell of Punta Gorda, Florida, and Lisa and Kurt Miller of Webster City. Grandchildren, Ashley and Rob Larson, Brent and Julia Nelson, Lydia and Ethan Cummings, Caleb and fiance Sarah Pudence Miller, great-grandchildren, Reed and Alois Larson and Baker Cummings, brother Clarence Shorty and Carol of Nelson, Nelson is the last name, of Lake Havasu City in Arizona, and many nieces, nephews, and extended family. Hans is preceded in death by his parents and his brothers, Marvin, Elmer, Harry, and Jens, and his sisters, Leela, Alice, and Esther Johnson. He was a member of Trinity Lutheran Church, where he had served on the church board. Hans was also a member of the American Legion Post 191. Mourning Kiwanis, Blairsburg Lions, Hamilton County Beef and Pork Producers, and the Webster City Country Club. Hans enjoyed winter months in Orange Beach, Alabama, golfing, tending to his yard, and spending time with his family, who made him very proud. A highlight of his life was the recognition of his family's Century Farm in Thor. The family wishes to thank Dr. Subhash Sahai, Life and Health Care, and Paula J. Baber Hospice House for their loving care and concern for Hans and his family. Memorials may be sent to Trinity Lutheran Church, Webster City, Iowa. And the last one is for Peggy M. Barkley. Peggy M. Barkley, 87, passed away Wednesday, December 25th, 2019, at the Paula J. Baber Hospice Home in Fort Dodge. Services are pending with Palmer Funeral Home in Gallery. And Gunderson's Funeral Home is in service to David Peters. Laufensweiler and Seaver's Funeral Home have Lola May Kunast, age 101. Her funeral is today at 2 p.m. at Zion Lutheran Church in Humboldt. Visitation is also today, 1 hour prior to the service at Zion Lutheran Church in Humboldt. And also Barbara J. Weinsettle, Lindner, age 67. The funeral will be Monday, 10 a.m. at Laufensweiler Funeral Home and 10:30 a.m. at Corpus Christi Church. Visitation will be Sunday, 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. with a rosary at 2:45 p.m., a vigil at 6 p.m., all at Laufensweiler Funeral Home. That ends it for the front section of the paper. I go on to the sports section here. I'll give you the headlines because I can't read in any of these here. You'll hear these on AP. Okay, one is defining moments as golfers reflect on their turning points. So it's an article about different golfers for the year. The next title is Kelsey Still Finding His Rhythm in Kansas City. Shows a picture of him catching a football there. Next one is entitled NFL Playoff Picture is Relatively Clear. Who's where? Okay, and the article I can read is Egli Fights to the Finish. Fort Dodge Senior Making Every Moment Count Down the Stretch. And it shows him in a wrestling hold here in the picture. It's written by Chris Johnson. Levi Egli is doing his best to be remembered for much more than an injury that took away his junior season of wrestling. The Dodger senior is building a legacy centered around his recovery and return to athletics. I'm wanted to be known as a hard worker who stuck it out no matter what, Egli said. Someone who was nice to his everybody and always there for his teammates. Egli suffered a gruesome knee injury during the last football game of the regular season in Marshalltown in 2018. He had surgery to repair a fully torn ACL and a partially torn LCL and PCL and femoris tendon. During and after recovery from the injury, Egli kept chipping away until the day came that he could return. I was running hard during recovery, and once I got fully back, I started working more on my legs and footwork, Egli said. It was a long stretch, and I had to be patient. When Egli's senior season on the gridiron rolled around, he was more than ready to hit the field. It was such a great feeling to be back. I really missed football, said the first team all-district linebacker. Before the injury, I didn't think much about ever getting hurt. But I'll admit, that was always in the back of my mind in 2019. It was such a blessing to make it through the season with no major injuries. After the Dodgers had a successful gridiron and reached the playoffs, Egli was ready to get back on the mat. We had a talented class in football, Egli said. I knew we would be good. We got kind of a bad draw in the playoffs, but overall it was a great season for us. Eggly placed fifth in the state tournament during his junior year and was part of the Dodgers state championship dual and traditional title squads in 2018. It felt great to be on the mat again, but it was kind of a shock to my body, Eggly said. We have a team that can win a state championship. As a sophomore, we did it, and I feel this group is a lot like that in certain ways. We definitely have the firepower to make some noise at Wells Fargo Arena. Being a Dodger is putting your head down while being positive and being a leader. Eggly plans on playing football after high school. And I'll give you his comments to his specialties here. Okay, a vacation destination would be Australia. People I would like to have dinner with would be Nick Saban, Bill Belichick, and Ray Lewis. My sports role model is Ray Lewis. My everyday role model is Nick Saban. I can't go a day without working out. A superstition is wearing the same underwear for all of my football games. Most heated rivalry is Southeast Polk. Favorite road trip? Going to Wisconsin for wrestling camp with Braden Mills and Mason Bakhoven. And what are you listening to right now? Okay, Megan Trainor. And favorite team is Iowa State Cyclones. Favorite class is coaching with Mrs. Adams. Oh, sure. That'd be for the girls' softball. Favorite movie is Remember the Titans. And his phone app is Snapchat. Okay, looking next at the hot corner. That's all we're going to have on this page for Thursday, December 26, 2019. On this date in national, in 1908, Jack Johnson became the first black man to win the world heavyweight boxing title with a 14th round knockout of Tommy Burns in Sydney, Australia. In 1943, Sid Luckman throws five touchdown passes to lead the Chicago Bears to a 41-21 victory over the Washington Redskins for the NFL championship. In 1954, Otto Graham scores three touchdowns and passes for three more to lead the Cleveland Browns to a 56-10 rout of the Detroit Lions for the NFL title. In 1960, the Philadelphia Eagles come from behind twice on a five-yard pass to Tommy McDonald from Norm Van Brocklin and a five-yard run by Ted Dean to beat the Green Bay Packers 17-13 for the NFL title. And in 1976, Minnesota, utilizing two blocked kicks, wins the NFL championship with a 24-13 victory over the Los Angeles Rams. In the first quarter, Nate Allen blocks Tom Dempsey's field goal attempt, and Bobby Bryant returns the ball 90 yards to open the scoring. A blocked punt sets up Fred Cox's 25-yard field goal for a 10-0 halftime lead. Minnesota's Chuck Foreman, who rushes for 118 yards, makes it 17-0 with a TD run in the third quarter. Okay, looking on at sports on TV for today. For in college football, we have Louisiana Tech versus Miami of Florida, 3 p.m. on ESPN. That's the Independence Bowl. Going to be bowl games right through New Year's Day. The Quick Lane Bowl is Pittsburgh versus Eastern Michigan, 7 p.m. on ESPN. Pro basketball, San Antonio at Dallas at 7 p.m. on TNT, and Portland at Utah at 9:30 on TNT in the evening, p.m.s. Premier League Soccer, Brighton at Tottenham, 6:25 a.m. on NBCSN. Southampton at Chelsea, 9 a.m. NBCSN. Newcastle United at Manchester U, 11:25 a.m. at NBCSN. And Liverpool at Leicester City, 2 p.m. NBCSN. And for soccer, we have the American Cup at Monterey, 8:30 p.m. on Fox Sports 1. Oh, in tennis, we have the Hawaiian Open, 9 p.m. tonight on the Tennis Network. IHF World Junior Championship Hockey, Russia versus the Czech Republic at 8 a.m. on NHL. and the United States versus Canada at noon on NHL. Okay, and a quote from Kurt Cousins. He said, on Minnesota's wasted opportunities against Green Bay, and this is in football, you don't have many bites at the apple to get going. That's cute. Okay, so okay, we do have some area announcements in sports on the next page here. Two Rivers Softball Clinic at Fort Dodge on December 30th. The 2019 Two Rivers Softball Clinic. Everything softball from the eastern to western borders in Iowa will be Monday, December 30th at St. Edmund Arena in Fort Dodge. The camp is divided into two groups, grades 2 to 5 at 9 to 11 a.m. and grades 6 through 8 at 11 a.m. until 1 p.m. The camps will be capped at 100 participants. Cost is $40 per person. Pride softball players will receive a $5 discount. Registration is due by December 23rd. That's already come and gone. The clinic will be led by Fort Dodge Senior High Coach Andy Adams, as well as Dodger assistants Kenzie Allstott, Aaron Miller, Molly Mathis, Casey Chabon, and Bree Chabon. For more information or to sign up, you can contact Adams at 515-571-5315. And the next one is for the Triton Softball Camp. Iowa Central will host a softball camp on Sunday, January 26th, for girls in grades 3 through 12. The 8 to 12 grade camp will be from 11:30 a.m. until 3 p.m. The grades 3 through 7 clinic is from 3:45 until 6:15 p.m. Cost is $60 for each student in grades 3 to 7 and $75 for students in grades 8 through 12. Infield, outfield play, pitching, base running, catching, hitting, and weight training and nutrition, this is for grades 8 through 12 only, will be covered. Forms are available on the Iowa Central website or by emailing either Coach Rich Sandquist at sandquist.iowacentraleducation or to Coach Bo Chabon at chabon@iowacentral.edu, I should say. Okay, the next one is Iowa Central Hitting Clubs. The Iowa Central softball team will be hosting a hitting club in the Crimmins Building. The dates are January 7th, 9th, 12th, 14th, 16th, 21st, 23rd, and 28th. Also February 4th, 6th, 11th, and 13th. 11 and 18. The cost is $75 for the first student and $60 for each family member after that. Each night is open from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. And for more information there, again, you can contact Rick Sandquist at 515-419-2247. And the last one is a pre-team swim program in Fort Dodge. The pre-team swim program is now being offered by the Fort Dodge Recs and Recreation Department, which is partnering with the Fort Dodge Swim Club coaches to offer three-week sessions aimed at kids who have learned the basics of swim lessons and are ready to move on to a new challenge. These sessions will introduce the competitive strokes and skills in a fun and engaging environment. There is a maximum of 5 swimmers per session. Swimmers will be coached by a certified swim coach with both club and college swimming experience. This group meets 3 times a week for 3 weeks from 5:45 to 6:30 p.m. at the Fort Dodge Senior High Pool. Each session is $45. Registration is available online at www.fortdodgeiowa.org/parks or at the Parks and Recs. Registration office, recreation office, and city hall, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. and 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. And so that takes care of that. Okay, so. So I say I'm basically done. I'm basically done. I have two things left. I'll take on Annie here with her thoughts, and then I'll close with the weather. Okay, the first one says, "Dear Annie, I grew up horseback riding in Montana. It was something that my father and I did together, and I have such fond memories. We would trail ride under the big sky and talk for hours on end. I formed a love of nature, and I found it to always be my happy pace. In addition to loving the great outdoors, as a result of this, I have a deep connection to animals. I am an attorney for animal welfare, and in particular, make sure that horses are being treated fairly by the horse carriages in New York City. That is where we now live, my husband and our daughter and I. It is a long way from the peace and quiet of Montana, but it seems to be where there is a need for my line of work. Now that I am a mother, I really want to pass on the gift of riding to my daughter. The problem is that my husband is a city-born boy and doesn't understand horseback riding. More importantly, he doesn't understand the cost of riding, which in fairness to him is considerably more expensive in New York than in the stable where I grew up riding. We have both dug our heels in, and I refuse to not give my daughter the gift of riding, and he complains about the money we spend at the barn every time we go. What can I do, horseback riding mother? Dear horseback rider, congratulations on your dedication to protecting those who can't protect themselves. There are so many advantages to horseback riding for children. In this day of screens and technology, it is a good way for kids to just get away from the electronics and back into nature. It is also very hard work to care for a pony and can teach your daughter about discipline and build up her confidence. Riding is also good physical exercise. The benefits are many. However, the cost is not something to discount. You could see if your barn would offer lessons for work. Depending on your daughter's age, sometimes barns have programs where the riders can work for their lessons. There are also great organizations that focus on horseback riding as a source of therapy. Perhaps you and your daughter could volunteer, allowing more opportunities for riding while supporting worthwhile causes." Good thoughts. The next one is, "Dear Annie, there is a person in my life who thinks I'm her best friend. She is sort of obsessed with me, and it gives me the creeps. I've tried being subtly rude, but she doesn't take the hint. She talks about me all the time to others and is always telling people we are best friends. Usually these people don't even ask anything about me, but she's willing to bring me up. She's a gossip and a racist. I have moved 1,800 miles away from her, blocked her number on my phone, and blocked her so she can't see my Facebook or Instagram posts. I have not emailed her since I moved about 7 months ago. When she emails me, I reply with a very short, terse response. When I see an email from her, it completely ruins my day. I just want her out of my life. How do you get rid of someone?" You're getting rid of. Using a subtlety or any type of hint you dropped to this person seems to have gotten you nowhere. You must be direct and straightforward and ask her not to email you or contact you anymore. It sounds like moving away from this toxic person was a good thing. Now it is time to completely cut her out of your life. Ask her once and very directly not to contact you. And if she continues, you should ignore her completely. No need for terse replies when no reply is better." Okay. Good. Brings me to the back page for today, and I have no more news on here, no other articles to read, no nothing. So it's end of the year. It's going to be the end for this date for me. Okay, our weather for today is mostly cloudy with a high of 39, a low of 23, with a wind from the west 9 to 16 miles per hour. Friday is mostly sunny, high around 39 and a low of 30. Saturday, we have rain forecast, a high around 45 and a low of 24. So Sunday, we go from rain to snow with a high of 33 and a low of 15. Monday is cloudy again with a high of 25 and a low of 13. Tuesday is mostly sunny, not many sunny days in this next week, with a high of 26 and a low of 18. And on Wednesday, it will be partly sunny with a high of 40 coming back up and a low of 28. And our high yesterday was 54. We were down 15 degrees today from that. And its low was 30. Last year's high for the same day was 36 and a low of 30. And looking at our sunset for today, we're starting to turn around. It's going to be a long time till we can see the difference. Sunset today will be at 4:49 p.m. and the sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:45 a.m. And we have a new moon right now. Okay, that's going to bring me to a close of today's reading for the Fort Dodge Messenger. I thank the folks at Friendship Haven for giving Iris a home in Fort Dodge for so many years, and I thank you for listening with Iris, the Iowa Radio Reading Information Service for the Blind. And my thought for today and to end our year is, this is a day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.